Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite movies and shows. We focus on representation and the voices that are ignored.
Yo, 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 it's Salam Nerds. My name is Leeds, a.k.a. Watch Me Leeds, and I'm here, my boy. Yes.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch With Neebs, and I'm here with a special guest host, Jugo. What's going on?
What's up, man? What's up? I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here once again to talk about my favorite TV series out right now. Just excited.
Let's go. I'm excited to talk about it too. As you know, Jazz is not with us. Jazz was not able to catch up enough. He's got a lot of things going on. Jazz is making moves. If you don't know, I don't know if a lot of you guys follow Jazz. He's a little private, but he is very much into politics, and he is doing a lot of work with the Texas Democratic Party right now in terms of getting support for Palestine and getting letters written, and I don't know, lots of stuff that's like above my knowledge. All I know is I just support Jazz. I'm just like, all right, Jazz, you're smarter than me. Let me know, give me the cliff notes, and he does, and I was like, yo, I can't wait to support you. So Jazz is doing some big things right now. He is doing it, you know, for the people, and hopefully once he has a little bit of time, he'll be back. So, you know, we love Jazz, we miss him, but he's doing bigger and better things right now at the moment.
That's what's up, man.
But I am glad to have you back on the show, because last time we went over Invincible, we had so much to talk about. And now we have a mid-season finale. And now I'm like, wow, where do we go from here? So for the first four episodes, what are your thoughts about this mid-season finale? You think this was a great time to stop it and give us a little bit of a break and then pick it up again, or do you think they should have given us a full season, no stopping?
I mean, you know, when you take into account the fact that the season two took 2 years to get here, you know, four episodes in and then a mid-season finale going on for, I guess, like for like a month. I heard something about it coming like mid-January or early February.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of crazy. I'm not gonna lie, I do think it's kind of crazy. But if they were, if it was like an inevitable thing where they were always going to do a mid-season finale, then I thought episode four, that battle, whatever the stuff that happened in the episode, was a absolutely perfect place to end this first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really great. I'm very happy with the way it ended. I'm also happy with about the way it started off, because it starts off exactly where the finale of season one ended off, which I was very curious about, because when this show starts off, you're like in the middle of what's going on. You have no idea what's going on with Omni-Man and Nolan and where he's at and what he's doing and what was the aftermath right after that fight. And here we get to see this like amazing, you know, scene with him just slowly gliding through space to the tune of Avalanche. Yeah. I thought that was just such a well shot scene. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I thought it was really beautiful. Like, this is like, you could literally paste the season finale of season one and the beginning of episode four together, and it would look like the same episode in terms of like how you immediately see as he gets away from Earth and he's flying through space. I thought notably one of the most interesting things about that sequence of him floating through space was the black hole. And seeing that, like, how it was designed, and I noticed this, which I thought was pretty cool, that damn near every black hole in popular media ever since Christopher Nolan's Interstellar has been designed, like, based off of Christopher Nolan's Interstellar design, which was similar to the first images that we ever saw of a black hole, which I think, like, came out just a few years ago, or, like, a few years after Interstellar, which I thought was really cool. So it was dope seeing how they animated that black hole, and just, you know, the animation was definitely really cool.
The animation was amazing. I really, really liked it. And it looked like Nolan was really at a loss and almost going to throw himself into the sun, which I was like, wow. And then before that happened, a ship appeared and he needed to help them. So he's like, all right, let me do one last good deed and then go. What are your thoughts about Nolan? Did you think he was going to actually fly into the sun, or what were you think was going on with him? Because Mark had some effect on him. The fact that he was ready to throw it all away after that battle, like something has clicked in his brain.
I was watching it and I'm like biting my fingers, like, because like I'm like, he's going to kill himself, no way. And the way I sort of interpreted that scene was that like it was truly a stroke of luck, because if not for the fact that that ship had shown up at the time in which it did and he would needed to save them, that he would have like ended up actually moving forward and ultimately taking his own life within the sun.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was really, really cool to set that up. And then he goes and lives amongst these people, right? And we learned that in the last episode, he's the one who brought Mark there. And he says, hey, they need your help. Now, I'm thinking, okay, this is some kind of ploy. This is some kind of plan. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he brought Mark here. But it turned out they did need his help. And Nolan does seem to have turned over a new leaf when it comes to these new aliens. And I'm just like, that's interesting. And I just love the reaction that him and Mark have, because at first Mark tries to punch him and or tries to make him flinch. He doesn't flinch at all. And then he tries to do it again, and then he does a hug. And then after that, he goes, fuck you. So it's like so many emotions going on here, which I thought was just such a well-done interaction with them meeting for the first time after what happened.
Yeah, there was a million different things I can imagine going on in Mark's head at the time of meeting his father. I mean, the last time they'd seen each other, he had beaten him near to death. And so it's like there's a sort of dichotomy there with like Mark missing his father because, you know, that's the person that raised him for the last 17, 18 years. And then remembering that that's also the person that nearly killed him and traumatized him in a way that is like irreversible. And so seeing all of those emotions play out one by one by one with like the clenched fist and then the flinching and then the hug and then the back to the fuck you, I thought was like just a really good quick way of like showing us all the emotions that are swirling in Mark's head right now as he's seeing his father.
I totally agree. I thought that was really, really cool. And then he has these bug people, then he has to explain to Mark why he needs the help, but Mark is just like, fuck you, he's leaving. And then he goes like, I don't care. And he goes, I know that's not true. And then Mark has to be like, okay, he called me out. Obviously, I do care. Also, the fact that he's like, you're a million miles away and you don't know how to get home. So, like, Mark was really just like stuck there. I thought was pretty funny. And then you find out that, like, when he brings them back to his place, you find out he's got a grasshopper sugar mama that he shacked up with.
Oh, that was weird.
That was weird. And he started making out with her. And I was just like, oh, this is gross. And then he's like, you already replaced mom. And it's really interesting because, like, he did call her a pet before he left. And now he's with an actual grasshopper. So it's weird. So I think, right? But I think they did this kind of show us what we are to the Veltrumites. Because, like, when you see these, like, bugs that are kind of like pets for you, and the fact that they only live a year, it's kind of like how we reflect to Nolan, because our lifespans could feel like just a year to him, and we also feel like more life forms, like bugs to him, you know? So like where you're watching season one and you're like, how could he call her a pet and how could he not care about these people? And then they give us like these bugs to desensitize us to their plight, so that we can kind of just be like, you know what? We're not that much better than him. We're kind of in the same boat.
Wow. So,
like, I really thought that was well done.
Wow. You know what's crazy is that, like, I've never thought of it like that before. Like, that was a really insightful way to frame that, because I was always wondering, even when reading the comics, like, why bugs? But when you put it like that, it makes complete and utter sense. You know, as you were saying, like, you know, what we see creatures like that, similar to that on Earth, they're vermin, they're unwanted. We have a ten, you know, we've created entire industries built around sort of creating chemicals to kill bugs of that nature. Yeah. And their lifespans are so alien to us, and they're just, their existence, even though they're not doing anything to us or bugs at home, their existence is like something that is treated as like an insult to our own existence. And so, yeah, like seeing the bugs on that planet, as the audience, and looking at like, why would he, you know, that's so cool that like we sort of are getting put in the place of Viltrumites, because we're questioning Nolan now, like, ew, right? why would he hang around those creatures? That is such an interesting insight.
It's so wild. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, wow, I really like the way that they did this. And then he has a son with this person. He goes, this is your brother. And now like Mark is very conflicted, because number one, he like hates this person who is taking feels like he's being replaced. His mom's being replaced, he's being replaced. But also this child is innocent. The woman is innocent, right? They didn't do anything wrong. So Mark is saying these things because he's frustrated, but deep down he knows he's kind of wrong, and he does have to help these people. So I thought that was really, really cool. What are your thoughts about that?
It was clearly hard for Mark. I mean, it would be hard for anybody, right? Because you're watching your dad, and he's got a new wife, and he's got a new son. Well, within like what, like 4 or 5 months of him beating the mess out of you just recently, and then calling your mother a pet. And so like there's a bit of a conflicting sort of battle in there with Mark, of like his sort of anger towards his father and for what his father has done, getting with a whole new family, and still like, and there's where the choice of being a hero comes in. There's where Mark's sort of hero abilities comes in, because regardless of how he feels, he recognizes. And I thought it was really sweet that he tells her, he's like, it's not your fault, you know, but it does still hurt. Like he recognizes it in himself, the pain that he feels, and and the validity of the pain he feels, while still like being emotionally mature enough to let her know that like, it's not on you. And that I didn't mean those things that I said about how you were a replacement or so on and so forth. And I thought that was such incredible growth for his character. And it just shows that like, he truly is more human than Viltrumite in the ways that really matter.
Yeah, and I didn't expect that. I did not expect to see that side of him so soon, which I thought was really, really interesting. And then there is a flashback, or not a flashback, but we're back on Earth, and we see his mom, and she's kind of just walking through the streets. And it's the same exact scene as Nolan flying through the planet, and she's walking through the scene, and it's the same shot, it's the same kind of music, and then she finally arrives at his grave. And start saying, like, I didn't really know you. I thought that was shot also really, really well, because it just like matched the tone of the beginning of the episode, and husband and wife, and how they're kind of just like they were in the same space of like headspace of what was going on with them. So I thought that was really, really interesting. What are your thoughts with the mom?
I love the parallels. I really, really do. And like I've said this before, but dude, it is so amazing to see how in this TV series they are fleshing out and developing Debbie Grayson as an actual character, because I cannot stress enough how in the comic book she is so wasted. She is like set into the background, and like she doesn't really get any sort of like characterization at all. So I'm experiencing the character of Debbie, you know, the people who are in the comics, who have read the comics, we're all still experiencing the character of Debbie for the first time, and seeing what they do with her is really cool. And seeing that parallel, and the grief that she's going through was really awesome. I mean, the whole episode, like apart from the major episode, or the major sort of scene in the end, which we'll talk about later, the whole episode is a reflection on sort of like the characters, not only Nolan, but also Debbie and the agent person. I forgot what was his name. But they're all Nolan? Sort of
Donald.
Donald? Donald.
Donald.
But the whole episode is just an exercise in sort of like finding oneself, and like trying to find out who you truly are, and trying to find out who you, like where you're going. An exercise in being lost, I should say. And I thought that was a cool theme that carried throughout.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I really love the way they kind of focus on some of these characters you don't expect them to focus on. Because I was just rewatching episode one, and they have like a good like 10-minute of dialogue between two security guards. And the security guards are just talking about how they're like, he had an adopted son and they had a rough relationship and he gave him a shiner. And now he's proud of him because he kicked drugs and he graduated. And I'm just like, did we never see this character ever again? But they gave him this amazing backstory for this random character who was voiced by John Hamm, which is really cool. But it's just so random. The way this show does that. So they'll find some small characters and you're just like focused on them. And I'm just like, wow, I am very interested in this person. That's it goes.
Yeah. And it's better. Like,
if it's written well, like you can get engaged with any character.
100%. And it's really cool because that is like the opening scene for the entire series. Like,
yeah,
for the, you know, that's a big deal for that to be the very first scene, the very first way you're introduced into Invincible is just a casual conversation between two regular human beings, security guards. And I think I made a TikTok about this not long ago, but the scene really has a lot of symbolic value for me because, you know, it's about him like talking about the difficulties of raising that son and how like it was hard in the beginning and they sort of hated each other and but they've really pulled through and they're, you know, they've really like worked on their relationship and now they're in a much better place than they used to be. And it's such a human relatable conversation that also subtly like hints at the larger father-son dynamics at play between Mark and Omni-Man that we'll see throughout the series. So I just thought it was masterful.
It's just, so well done. A big fan of that. All right. And then we see the Mahler twins who show up again and they make another clone. But this time they know who the original is and who the clone is, which I thought was pretty interesting. And I was just like, okay, fine. That happened. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, we see that they try to make more duplicates. And instead of, you know, them working as a team, one is basically pushing the other one around because one person knows that he's the original and the other is a clone. And then the clone ends up murdering him with poison lemonade because he was like, no, it's better for them not to know who's real and who's a clone. And they work better that way. I thought that was really cool. I didn't see that coming.
You know, it's crazy. I didn't see the murder coming, but I thought that the clone who knew he was a clone was going to kill himself because the Maulers before, when they were sort of giving Rudy a new body, it already explained that like it's dangerous to know, like to have the information on who the clone is and who isn't the clone, because like that creates so many complications. So I'm like, why isn't he taking his own advice? So my assumption was that the clone was just going to end up killing himself because, you know, who wants to live knowing that they're a clone? So it also took me by surprise that he ended up killing the original as well. And I just, I love seeing the Mahler twins, like whatever they do, almost like never really has anything to do with the story at hand. It's just fun to see them doing their own thing.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like they just pop up every now and then. Even in the first episode, they just pop up because they're going after the White House. And then it was just a way to introduce Omni-Man. So it didn't really have anything to do with anything else, which I thought was really cool. But I do like the fact that now whoever is the clone is technically a clone of a clone. So I don't even know. Like, it doesn't even matter if which one's the original or not, right?
So, yeah, I mean, the assumption is that like, I would assume that it, like that original hasn't been around for a while because they've gone through like throughout season one and season two, like we've seen like 3-4 Maulers die on screen.
Yeah.
And it's like any one of them could have been the original and we could just be running on clones of clones of clones. You know, there's no telling how many times the Maulers have actually died and then recloned themselves.
That's true. That's true. All right. Now, speaking of clones, what do you think is going on with Donald? Because Donald goes and he goes to Debbie's house. She's not home. Mm-hmm. And then he looks over to the house that exploded and he finds his glasses. So he goes in, he does some research. He goes, typed in his passwords. He's locked out, types in Cecil's password. Somehow he knows it. He gets in. He sees his own death. Which he's completely shocked by. So he knows he died. So then he stabs himself to see if he is human or not. And he sees blood. Mm-hmm. And he's very relieved that he's human. So he may be a clone, but he's human. But the knife is bent. So Is he like half clone and half android? If he's a complete android, we don't know what's going on with Donald. I think that's a fun side story that like I didn't even think we were gonna have.
Yeah. Like I was saying, I just love that we get a tidbit about Donald and like self-exploration and being lost and not knowing what he is. In the comics, it's a lot more cut and dry. I forgot what happened to Donald. It wasn't Omni-Man, but I forgot what specifically happened to Donald. But essentially, something happens to Donald where like he like almost dies, and then he comes back as a cyborg. Like they give him all these cybernetic implants and so on and so forth, and like that's something he's just cool with, like for throughout the rest of the series. It's just part of his character. There's no sort of exploration, there's no question. But it's really cool how in the TV series they're sort of taking that and flipping it and making him question what he is. But my assumption is like he is still a cyborg, but what I don't know is that like Donald, I mean, that building exploded. Like they dropped an orbital nuke on the house. Like I have no idea. Like my assumption was that he was completely vaporized. So it seems to me that this must just be a clone entirely, or like some sort of, like you said, cyborg clone.
And they must have had the plans for a clone even before he died. They probably just had it like ready to go. So I don't know. I'm really surprised about that. And then another side story that's going on is the one with Adam Eve. So Adam Eve goes to visit the friends in school because she's trying to reach Mark. She can't reach him, obviously, because he's in space. And then she says she has a place nearby. And then somebody decides to steal some kind of orb from that place. And then she goes and fights this guy. And they have a big brawl on the bridge. And because of that, these two old couples, their car goes over the bridge and... do they die? I don't know, but she isn't able to save them in time. So they're definitely incapacitated, and the EMTs come in there rushed to help. Adam Eve's going through it too, man. What are your thoughts about her storyline?
Yeah, hers is really, I think she's one of my favorite characters in the series, and they just how they explore her powers and her relationship with Mark and her relationship with her parents. Like it's almost as tragic as Mark's story. And so like she presents herself, and it was really cool, is in that battle, she presents herself as somebody that is like entirely capable of saving the day on her own in the same way that Mark is. And I think that's really cool. They're not sort of nerfing her or making her look weak. And seeing her like sort of giving her that arc of failing to save those people who, when I first saw, I thought were her parents. I could definitely be wrong, but I don't know why they look like her parents to me. Seeing her like lose like that and have them hurt was heartbreaking, honestly.
That's the one thing I really like about this show, because they show the heroes losing a lot. Usually to the point where I'm like, yo, is he ever gonna win a fight? Mark loses so much, but like I like that about this show. It's not like, oh, the hero's gonna win every time. It's really, really great to see that. And same thing with Adam Eve. Even if she did beat the guy, she didn't win because, you know, she was careless and people died. And then she goes back to her house, and you know, she's kind of just like, I don't know, her dad said that she's reckless and her powers are dangerous, and now she's coming to realize that maybe they are. I'm very curious, because they came out with a Adam Eve series. Like the Adam Eve has her own episode, and it's really, really good. You get to learn about a lot of cool backstories, and you get to learn how her powers work. And she is really one of the most powerful people in all of Invincible. She is very 100%.
I haven't seen the series yet because I honestly didn't even know it existed until very recently, and so it was like it's been on my list to check out. But I saw some clips because I saw some clips on TikTok of her like fighting, and I was like, she's fighting better in this than I've ever seen her fight in the TV series of Invincible. Like she was kicking ass. I mean, she was so good, and the animation was super crisp. And like, I'm really glad that like showcased the fact that when Adam Eve bypasses the sort of mental block, she's easily like top three most powerful in the entire series. And I'm so excited for how they're going to manifest that later on.
That's cool. That's very cool. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. All right, so Let's go back to the Viltrumite story. So as they're talking about what's going on with the Viltrumites and stuff like that, Mark agrees. He agrees to help. And he's like, but what can I do? I couldn't even beat you. And then Nolan's like, it's fine. We'll train. As soon as he said that, the Viltrumites show up. So you're like, oh, fuck. Mark's not ready. Mark decides to take his brother and his brother's mom to a safe cave. They get to these caves, and then he had this like heartfelt conversation with them where she's like, I was not trying to replace your mom. I didn't really know that. I was already head over heels for him before, but by the time I knew about you and your story, but your dad really loves you and he talks about you a lot. I thought that was really, really great. So like we actually see like Nolan has changed. He is changed and shook to the core. And then this Viltrumite comes in. I believe his name was
Lucan.
He looks like Steve Harvey, which I heard someone said that he actually is based on Steve Harvey, which I think that is hilarious.
That makes perfect sense.
That's hilarious. So it was really, really cool to see this fight. And Mark ends up being beat pretty bad. There's this one scene where he beats Mark with one finger, and you're just like, with one damn. These guys are strong. And then how strong Nolan is, because Nolan beats the crap out of him, cuts open his entire guts and stabs him with a rock. And I'm just like, holy shit. So he asks his mom to go in and go further into the caves. And then he goes back to fight the other two. What were your thoughts about the fight in the cave?
I thought seeing Lucan do that figure shit was so funny.
It was really funny.
Like with one finger, I was dying, because I'm like, these are what Viltrumites really, really are. I mean, he was toying with him. And did you see that sort of like he looked at Mark and he was like, okay, like you seem okay. But then he looked at the Mark's little brother and he was just filled with disgust. I find that really interesting. That fight itself was dope. And one thing that like I noticed about Viltrumites from that fight is that like they're stronger than they are, like they're more strong than they are invulnerable. Like their strength is higher than their level of invulnerability. Which is why like a lot of the times they end up just like punching holes through each other, and like they're a lot stronger than their bodies can handle. And so I see how like Omni-Man just slices him in the stomach like it's nothing, like just with this one fell swipe. And I thought that was really interesting, because that's something that I feel like we're going to see a lot more of with how Viltrumites deal with each other. It's just like that one hand chop where they just like cut everything with that one wrist move. But the fight itself was really cool.
I thought the fight was pretty cool too. And then we have Nolan and Mark get back to where they were, and they see all of these dead, like, you know, aliens there. And Nolan is like really, really upset, and he grabs Mark by the throat and he goes, why do I feel this way? Why do I care about these insects? And you're just like, holy shit. He's not just putting on a show. He's not just trying to, you know, get Mark to like him again. He really cares. And you're just like shocked. And he doesn't like the fact that he cares. He's just like, how is this better? How is this good? Great storytelling right there, and great character development. What are your thoughts on that?
That was a beautiful scene. That was really beautiful scene. Like, you are watching this man have a midlife crisis. And what is really interesting when you take into context is that Omni-Man is like, like 5,000 years old by now, which means that he has been through thousands of years of Viltrumite indoctrination. I mean, and Viltrumite are literally space. Like they're genocidal, they're supremacist, they're fascists. And so he's been through thousands of years of fascist indoctrination, and all of that is unraveling like in real time. And so we're seeing the mental anguish and fallout of that sort of indoctrination unraveling, and they do that so well, because he's angry and he doesn't understand his feelings. He doesn't, because it's the first time that he's ever felt genuine love and care for creatures that are lesser than him. And watching him sort of battle that within his mind, like you said, it was just really good storytelling.
Yeah, no, it's really good storytelling. And it's really interesting where, like, they're not mad at Mark. They're like, well, let's see if you're good enough to be part of the Viltrumite Empire. We could accept you. Like, they're okay with humans because apparently their blood mixes so well with humans that, yeah, you know, he's pretty much full Viltrumite, even though he's half, yeah, which is, yeah, very, very interesting. Cool. Yeah. Mm. So, like, no one other than Nolan has procreated with a human. Is he supposed to be like the first one?
Yeah, yeah. Nolan is the first ever Viltrumite on Earth that's ever met humans. And, like, I would tell you why, but it's a bit of a spoiler. Keep in mind that, like, it is important, sort of Nolan's relationship with humans.
Okay. And, like, very cool.
Sent there for a reason.
That's cool. All right. So Nolan's fighting, and these two Viltrumites come down. One is the girl with the hair with the knife at the very end, which I thought was a very cool look. The other one guy was Vidor. And Nolan goes and fights Vidor, and Mark is fighting the woman with the hair. And Nolan is kicking ass, and to the point where he has to help Mark also. So he's like beating up this guy, yeah, and there's just one scene where he just smushes his head in, and I'm just like, damn. And that's kind of like what you're saying, like, their bodies are not like super invulnerable, like, he is able, yeah, to squish that person's head and brains in together, yeah, which I thought was crazy, yeah. And then he tells Mark, you can't fight like you fight on Earth, you have to fight to kill here, or else they're going to kill you. And then Mark sees all of the dead aliens, and he's like, shit, I have to. And then he actually puts up a fight. But then at the very end, he hesitates and she stabs him, which I thought was really, really interesting. So the one time he actually hesitated, it made him lose the fight. And then Nolan came in, he saved him, and you're like, okay, good, happy ending. And then out of nowhere, Steve Harvey comes back, kicks him right in the spine, and he's holding his guts with his hands while he does this.
Yeah.
Wow. What are your thoughts on that fight?
That fight was like, dude, it was like 4 minutes of just pure excellence. Definitely the best fight that we've gotten in the entire series. And I was so stoked for this episode when I saw episode 3, because I was like, I know the Viltrumites are coming. And it did not disappoint. It was like, I'm watching it with the biggest grin on my face. I thought it was really awesome. I thought it was cool that you see that Mark's issue isn't necessarily that he's not as strong as the other Viltrumites. It's that he is far more merciful than the other Viltrumites.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's the big barrier. That's the big mental block that keeps him from fighting. And so it's crazy because, like, when he sort of gets rid of that mental barrier, it's not that he just wins by a little bit. Like, he's beating her ass. Like, he is dominating the entire fight. And, you know, at the last minute, being the human being, caring person that he is, he couldn't find it within himself to make the killing move. And I thought, that, you know, I'm glad that they went that route, that Mark is still like a good person and he wouldn't kill. But overall, the fight was just magnificent. What did you think about it?
My favorite part is when Nolan elbows the woman in the jaw, and half her jaw is like broken. Oh, yeah. That is a Mortal Kombat fatality. And I was like, holy shit, that is amazing. Yeah. I love this show. Yeah. Give me more.
It was so dark and messy and so amazing.
It was really, really cool. I really like that. And I even like where he, like, Nolan gets kicked in the spine and you can hear the crackle and you're like, oh, that's not a kick. Mm. Something's broken in there. I thought that was really, really great. Then the guy goes, you know, it's done, and passes out. So really, nobody won. They all pretty much just kicked each other's asses.
They all lost that fight, like, to terribly. Like, you see, like, Invincible's, like, laying there half dead, and there's nothing he can do. Yeah, everybody lost that fight.
Yeah, man. Everybody was kind of paralyzed. And then they get picked up, and he's like, hey, remember all the good I've done? Remember my books, which I thought was really interesting, because they also mentioned the books earlier on in the episode where Debbie decides to give up everything, give up the house, the books, the money, all of that stuff. She doesn't want to be indebted to Cecil, and she wants the money to go to the people of Chicago, which I thought was really, really cool. But then he brings up the books again, and I'm just like, why do you say that? Why do you say read my books? I don't understand that. I feel like there's something there.
Yeah, it definitely does feel like there's something there, because like, why on earth would he talk about like the last thing he says to his son before he gets carted off away to be executed is read my books. So yeah, I'm definitely interested to see like what it is he's talking about.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But the Viltrumites show up and they're like, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go back to Earth. Since Omni-Man blew his cover, he can't go back there. Obviously, he's like, you're still light there. So you're going to go back. You're going to take his position. And either you can kill a few people or we're going to come and we're going to kill millions. Like, damn. And they're like, you don't have a choice. And unlike your dad, we're not going to change our minds. What were your thoughts on that?
First of all, the voice actor, Jesus Christ, what's his name? I forgot his name. Do you remember? You know his voice. He's like Mr. Krabs. He was also in Gen V. He was also the voice actor for, what was his name? Something.
Let's look it up. General
Craig.
Invincible. Voice actor. Voice actor.
You'll know it as soon as you see him. You'll know as soon as you see him.
What? It's David Tennant?
Yeah. What?
Is Doctor Who?
No, not David Tennant. Am I tripping?
It says right here, General. David Tennant voicing General Craig.
Really? It sounded like
Oh no, it says Clancy Brown.
Yeah, Clancy Brown. So wait, who did David Tennant play?
Wait, what? I don't know. It's a TikTok of him doing it. I must say I'm impressed. Tell you the truth, I was certain you would die the moment. Oh, never mind. It's a different General Craig. It's from a different show.
Oh,
it's from the Legend of Voice Machina. There is a General Craig in that show too, and is voiced by David Tennant.
That is so strange.
That is strange.
No, I was talking about, yeah, this one. What was his name?
Clancy Brown,
famous, wonderful voice actor. You know his voice from anywhere. He was the guy in Gen V, like the teacher that she tried to get into the hero class. But anyways, I loved his voice. Seeing him or hearing his voice, you know, hearing him be General Craig was amazing. I was really scared for Invincible in that interaction because I genuinely thought they could have they could have just killed him right there and then been completely done with it. But they didn't. And so like having them like forcing him with this ultimatum of like, you either like prepare Earth for being taken over or we come and we kill you and most of their like millions of people. Like I have no idea like how he even hopes to like get out of that, like in the future.
Yeah.
What does he even plan to do?
It does seem like it's hopeless. It seems like the Viltrumites are just way too powerful. The fact that like Omni-Man is so strong and then you have an entire planet full of him, like what, how is that going to happen? Right. So it just feels like it's impossible. And then we see how they took care of Alan the Alien and bodied him. Right. Yeah, so
they washed him entirely.
Yeah, and it definitely makes us feel like what's going on this season. So, for when the season returns, I'm really curious. There's so many things I want to know about. Is Mark going to go back and tell everybody what happened? Is Alan the Alien going to live? What happened with the Thaddeus who basically tried to kill Alan the Alien, right? And then there's stuff like, what's happening with the Guardians? Are they going to be able to fight the Viltrumites? Because they don't look like they can handle a lot of stuff at the moment. And then there's also the professor with the portals. He's still going around figuring out how to go. So there's a lot of storylines that are going on right now. And I'm very curious, are they all going to be wrapped up in the next four episodes? Or are we going to see a few of them leak over to the next season? So I'm very curious. What are your thoughts?
I honestly I have no idea either, like where they're going to go with this next four episodes, because I remember Robert Kirkman saying that he said specifically season 2 episode 4 and episode 8 were really crazy. And so we've already seen episode 4. You know, we know what he was meant by episode 4, but I have absolutely no clue what he means by episode 8 is going to be crazy. What storyline is going to be focused on? What happens? What I guess I do know is like the Viltrumite storyline. I don't see that being like resolved in this season, but what I am but I don't know in terms of what other storylines they're going to go for. Cause like you said, I had completely forgotten about the multiverse person, the person who could switch multiverses, cause he's got a plan. And so like it's up in the air, and like the Guardians of the, it's funny that you said the Guardians of the Globe are useless. Like they're not like this. Let's be so for real. They're not fighting anybody from Viltrum. They're not taking anyone. No. So we'll see.
They're like first of all, the first Guardians of the Globe got their ass kicked by one Viltrumite. So what are these kids gonna do? I totally agree with you. I don't know. I really love the way this show is shot. I think it's shot really beautifully. They have brought in some amazing voice actors to be in this whatchamacallit show. And I just love that they don't really pull punches, right? They'll drop the F-bomb.
Yeah.
And like when they drop the F-bomb, it doesn't feel like they're doing it just to drop the F-bomb. They're just like, you know, it's Mark's emotion. He's like, fuck you. Like he's upset because of everything that happened, right? So good, man. The delivery. I don't know. I just really love the way I just love the way it's written. What are your thoughts about this overall, the first four episodes?
The voice cast is stacked, like probably the most stacked voice cast I've ever seen on an animated TV. I mean, there are so many big names in like the smallest roles. Like you told me John Hamm played the security guard in the beginning.
I know.
Like, that's insane. Yeah, and you'll see that all throughout the series. You'll just have like these A-list actors or like really legendary voice actors playing small roles and, you know, like giving it their all and genuinely like pouring their emotions and their whole like sort of mastery into these roles. And so on that level, it's like this show is just far above a lot of other animated TV series in terms of its voice cast. But the first four episodes themselves of the season, I think, were paced really, really well. I think this is why I'm not mad that they you know split them up into like half a season, because you know one episode through four felt like almost a season in itself. It's paced really well. The every episode was really interesting. There was always something new. If it keeps going like this, like this is functionally, this could easily be like top five greatest superhero TV shows like of like the last 10 years, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think it's definitely one of the best superhero shows. In fact, two of the best superhero shows I feel like are on Amazon Prime, to be honest with you.
Facts.
Right? It's really interesting because, you know, Marvel, we like Marvel, but like Marvel is the Disney thing. It's never going to be that dark. Yeah. It's never going to be that serious. They're not going to be dropping F-bombs, right? It's family-friendly. Yeah. PG-13 at most, right? So that's what we're doing, which is fine. I feel like there's a place for that. There's, you know, there's a butt for every seat. There's a people who need that and they want to watch movies and shows with their families and their kids. Love that for them. I also love to do that, right? But this is like something you're just like, all right, let's be grown-ups now and let's watch a little darker superhero show. It's basically what like the Snyderverse pretends to be.
Oh, that is perfect. That is actually a really good way of putting that, because Snyderverse had that sort of maturity level in there, but like the stories themselves weren't good.
Right, like the stories themselves weren't good.
So this gives us like the mature, you know, absurdity, dark themes of the Snyderverse, but with like actual good storytelling. Like
absolutely. Right.
It's what Zack Snyder's films think they are.
Exactly. That's going to be my tweet for this episode. All right, man. So thanks again for joining us. And once this show comes back, which isn't that unheard of, a lot of shows do go on break for Christmas in January, because I think like holidays and people start school and stuff like that. So people go on vacations around this time. So it's not that unheard of. Right. So hopefully when the show comes back around, we can have you back on, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Anytime. You know me.
All right, cool, man. Let people know where they can find you real quick.
Yeah, 100%. You can find me on Instagram at DestructoJugo, as well as TikTok. That's where I post the most. And you can also find me on Twitter under the Sentinel King. You know, and I'll type that in the chat. At Sentinel King KB. And
All right, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on, and we can't wait to have you back, man. And until next time, guys, Salam, nerds.